Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 64 of the Beyond the Ring of Wrestling Podcast. And tonight, we have WWE News and Rumors Report. We got breaking news. Braun Strowman to return to Raw this Monday night. Could it be a possibility? WWE attendance figures down as usual, and so much more right here on the Beyond the Ring of Victory Wrestling Podcast for Thursday, June 15th, 2017, and this is episode number 64. So, right here from the Rockin' Wrestling Connection, right here in Cleveland, Ohio, we welcome you to the WWE News and Rumors Report. Let's get the show on the road! Alright. Whew! We're ready to rock and roll, aren't we? Well, you guys know, you know, you watch my regular shows, you know, on the average, and you know how I like to kick everything off here every single time we do a show, and that is with the introduction from the two-time TNA Impact Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion, and that would be Mr. EC3, Ethan Carter the Third, who made an intro for this channel, and I always say, EC3, thank you. I can't thank you enough for what you've done. And I remember this is when I was just starting out, still like maybe 1 year in, and EC3, you know, did this intro, and it really gave the channel and myself a nice boost. And just always want to take some time to reflect every now and then to thank Mr. EC3 himself. So what I'm going to do is I'm getting everything together here. And then I'm going to screen share everything for you. And then what we're going to do is we're going to hear from EC3 himself. So let's see what we got here. I just gotta try to screen share this now for you guys, so let me see. Alright, for those of you watching, for those of you listening on iTunes and Podomatic, you'll get ready to hear the audio, but let's see, everybody here that's watching live, let's get the screen share. There he is, there's the man himself, so what I want you guys to do is enjoy EC3, and I'll be back, and we're going to break it down and talk about all the important news and rumors coming up next. Enjoy EC3, everybody. I will be right back with you in just a second, so no worries. Here is EC3, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, this is EC3 of TNA Wrestling, and you are so very fortunate because you are watching Beyond the Ring with Big T.
Alright, there you go. There he is, the man himself, Mr. EC3, doing the wonderful intro for the show, as always. So right here, I'm your host, Big T, here with you, and we got Sage, and we got Anthony ready to do news and rumors reports for us tonight. How's it going, guys?
Yo, everybody. Hey, what's up, man? Yo, everybody needs a nickname.
I'm doing
good.
Yo, it's kind of echoey, bro.
I remember I did that last time. What did we do to fix that?
Remember your microphone. And you gotta turn the volume.
Alright. There we go.
Yep. How's it sound now?
Is that good?
Yep. It sounds good on my end. But it's still in the echoes though.
Let me try a little bit more. How's that on your end?
I mean, you sound fine.
Alright.
Yeah, that's better.
Cause you guys sound good and as long as you guys don't have an echo coming across on your end, that's good because I know you guys are gonna be doing the reading and the news and rumors. I know you did all your research and, you got all the stories that we need for tonight and I'll break them down with you, so.
Yo, T. Everybody needs a nickname, right? So Anthony's gonna have to get a nickname.
Yeah. We need a nickname for Anthony, that's true.
Well, what do you want to be called, Anthony? Nah, just let me know. So let him know so that way he can just introduce you like that instead of using the government.
Yeah, I'm known as Pecan. So just white people are not always too hip with that. So just call me just call me Big P. Or just call me P. How about that? P.
Who?
Just call me a P, the letter P.
P?
Capital.
Yeah. Capital P.
Capital P. That's it, capital P. Cap P.
It's your big man voice.
So we got Big T, we got Sage, we got capital P.
Let's go. So we got a couple of stories here. Let me pull them up.
I know the main story is going to be a big one. I don't know when you're going to break that out of the hat, but just to let everyone know now, if it comes now or later, the headlining story on the show is what the video is titled. Breaking news, Braun Strowman to return on Raw this Monday night. And that little question.
Do you want me to lead with that? Or do you want me to save that for the end?
You can save it for the end if you want. That's fine. Everybody's got to wait and tune in for it.
All right, so I'll start off with something kind of a nice little heartwarming story. And it has to do with fatherhood. And we reported that last week Matt Hardy had his second
congratulations.
Congratulations to our broken lead. And we have another WWE superstar who just became a father. It was announced that WWE Raw superstar Kurt Hawkins has become a father.
Who?
Wow.
I'm joking.
It says, just in time for Father's Day, Kurt and his wife Elizabeth welcomed their first child to the world last night, and her name is Mackenzie Rose. Congratulations to Kurt Hawkins and his family, and even though he's been utilized very horribly on Raw, and let's just face it, he was being utilized horribly on SmackDown as well.
Yep.
He's just literally an enhancement talent.
I didn't even know he was drafted.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nah, and I've been watching Raw.
Who drafts jobbers?
Yeah.
But regardless of, I mean, hey, he has a family. He's become a father, and congratulations to Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah. You know,
don't really have nothing. Happy Father's Day for him too, cause.
And every other father.
Every other father, not just in the wrestling world, in the entire world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. This Sunday, Money in the Bank, it's gonna be on Father's Day. It seems like WWE always has a pay-per-view on Father's Day. They always make sure that that happens, but yeah, you know, definitely congratulations to Matt Hardy, congratulations to Kurt Hawkins, and you know, the extensions of their families, and I don't know if we'll see Kurt Hawkins on Raw TV anytime soon, but we know Matt's already back, and he's wrestling, you know?
Yeah,
he should be.
Yep.
But definitely, I hope everybody has a happy Father's Day out there this weekend. And happy Father's Day to my dad as well.
And stay safe as well, because I don't know if you guys saw the news yesterday, but this guy out in Virginia, he started shooting things up. So just want to make sure everybody has a safe Father's Day as well.
Oh, definitely. Need to keep it safe.
No, I didn't freeze.
Keep an eye out on your surroundings. If you see anything funny, just walk out. Not worth risking it. Be around your family. Be
vigilant.
That's right. Because you never know.
Yep. Be vigilant, because you never know what the fuck could happen. Crazy people out in the world. And anyways, moving on. Eric Bischoff thinks John Cena being labeled as a free agent is a bad idea. As reported here on E! Wrestling News, WWE superstar John Cena will be returning to WWE TV on July 4th, but Cena will only be returning to SmackDown Live. As Cena will not only be returning to SmackDown Live, as he will be part of Monday Night Raw as well. WWE has given Cena the quote-unquote free agent label, which allows him to perform on Monday and Tuesday night as he pleases. On the latest episode of Eric Bischoff's podcast, Bischoff on Wrestling, he gave his thoughts on the idea of having John Cena on both shows. Quote, this is Eric Bischoff here. I don't dig it. I've said from the very beginning on this podcast that I predicted that it'll become almost a non-issue at some point unless they really commit to making these brands feel different and unique, like two different companies. If all you're going to do is paint one red and paint one blue and talent is going to transition back and forth on a regular basis, you're calling it a brand split, but it's not. It's just two different shows. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Capital P.
Yeah, I agree. It's ridiculous. I understand, you know, because the attendance, Mr. McMahon is scared. He's blaming it on not being enough Cena on the TV, which is BS. We all know that's not going to help. It can stuff him in every segment, every match, every pay-per-view, and we're still going to be bored. So it doesn't help.
What do you think?
Exactly. I think Bischoff's exactly right, because you know what? It was like Cena had the U.S. title invitational thingy that he was doing. Raw sucked the whole show, except for Cena's match, which, you know, one match that's 15, 20 minutes of a show doesn't make up for a full 3 hours. I mean, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. I love John Cena. John Cena's very entertaining. John Cena is... He draws money. He draws money. The guy's a money magnet. He is, he knows how to get the job done. He's a franchise player. There's a reason why John Cena was at the top for all these years. but a guy that's going on 40 years old now that's nearing the end of his wrestling career, you can't depend on him to hold down the ship, especially go back and forth between both shows. I mean, come on now.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's crazy.
I just have to say that I agree with his statement. That he says it'll become almost a non-issue at some point unless they really commit to making those brands feel different and unique, like two different companies. If all you're going to do is paint one red and paint one blue, and talent is going to transition back and forth on a regular basis, you're calling it a brand split, but it's not. It's just two different shows. I couldn't agree with that sentiment anymore. Honestly, if you watch Raw and you watch SmackDown back to back, literally the only thing that you'll notice, the only difference that you'll notice is, oh, hey, one is red and one is blue. But
yeah,
because in the initial brand split, SmackDown felt different. SmackDown was treated different. SmackDown was treated a lot more serious, and it wasn't treated as a joke. And it was looked upon as the better show to Raw. It felt a little different. The camera angles were different. The storylines were simpler. They weren't overconvoluted. They weren't based on solely entertainment. They were professional wrestling storylines that made sense, were easy to follow through. And in turn, it made it feel different than Raw. And now, since the Superstar Shakeup, I can't see the difference. It feels like the same fucking show. It feels like the same damn show. And it's very disappointing. And I understand the reason that Cena's able to do it. Number one, he's John fucking Cena. And number two, they've noticed how the ratings have tanked. And they really need something. They can't depend on the person for them to take care. Lesnar is in contractually obligated to show up at every show. He has specific dates that he works, and he's not gonna be on that one show. As much as all of us love to see him on a weekly basis, he's a part time. He's a part time. And if Vince is just gonna focus his time on part timers and not on his everyday employees that go there every single week and bust their fucking ass 5 days out the fucking week on both shows, whether you're on Raw or SmackDown. Like, obviously nobody's gonna give a fuck. Nobody's gonna care. Nobody cares about these characters because they don't build these characters. They don't make us care. If you don't make us care, if you don't care, if the company themselves don't care, what in the fuck makes you think that any of us and any of the casuals, they're not. Yeah. And if they think, oh, well, John Cena's coming back, ratings are going to jump up. I bet you that all the money I have in my pocket right now, them motherfuckers is not going to jump up as much as they might think they are. You think they're going to jump up to a 3? Hell no.
No.
Mm-mm. Hell no. They might jump up 2.6, 2.7. They ain't going to jump no 3. I'll tell you that much right now.
Because I think what? Even with...
He's considered good now.
Yeah.
A 3 is considered good now.
And even with, 2.7 million viewers that they're drawing every week... Right now, I think that comes to like, what, a 1.75 or a 1.8 overall rating? So they would need about 3.7, 3.8 million to probably draw a 2.7. I don't think they're going to do that with John Cena.
That means more than a million and a half of people has to tune in on Raw. That's not going to happen. Especially going the last the last few years how horrible the show has been down, and the writing is the problem. The writing is the biggest problem. And I can't believe they think with just booking Cena every day, it's gonna help people out of their mind.
I mean, did you see the fucking garbage we got on Monday this week? Oh my god.
It was painful to watch, bro.
And the crazy thing, I saw people giving it a good rating because of one segment.
Oh my god.
It makes 3 hours worth it? Are you out of your mind?
Bro, I gave it a 2. And it was mostly just because of that segment.
Yeah.
That segment and the Bray Wyatt segment. Right, T?
Yep. That was my thoughts exactly.
The only positive is your Bray, because I'm a Bray Martin. I don't give a fuck if he loses every match. Bray, seeing Bray on my TV is a plus for me. And especially that my man is Flack and JoJo, big ups to my man Bray.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there, because it don't matter what he's doing in his personal life.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about strictly his in-ring professional career. That man is always phenomenal. Always on his feet. Always on point. Always because of the best promos, and he's so underutilized. Yeah. So underutilized. Which is one of the reasons why I'm very upset, because since the shakeup, he's just become another guy. When on SmackDown, he was a fucking champion. He was taken serious. He was booked perfect.
Yeah.
But, again, anyways, the only ups in Raw was Bray and Joe and Lesnar. That's it, man.
That's it.
I thought he almost popped the blood vessel. How mad he was.
I was doing the same thing as Sage on Monday. I was going off. I was bitching. I was saying this show fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you even told me at one time, Sage, you're even like, man, you know, you just got to chill out and let it go. I'm like, this is fucking bullshit.
Because mm-hmm. At one point, Pete wrote me. And then he asked me if I was watching E3. And I'm like, dude, I'm watching both. And I was mostly watching E3 at that time, because we all were sucking donkey dick.
It was Sony, so. Sony Mark.
No. It's just E3, period.
PlayStation, period.
Whether it was PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, video games have more of my attention than fucking Raw.
Yep.
That's how abysmal that show was.
Yep.
And then you look at SmackDown on the other hand, and they were able to keep our interest, because SmackDown's better than Raw.
But not by much. Not by much. Ever since
No.
You know what? I'll tell you this. I remember more segments on SmackDown than I do on Raw.
Oh yeah, definitely. But still, this week it was they were both just as bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh my god, this one. Like literally, Raw only had those two segments. Really, only one with the Joe and Lesnar, mm-hmm. but. Just that isn't going to salvage a 3-hour show. You understand? Just that isn't going to salvage a 3-hour show. And even then, and even on SmackDown, there was a lot of people that I was like, oh, well, where's this person? Where's this person? Where's this person? You know? Like, I'm still waiting on my man Rusev to show up.
Yeah, what happened?
What's up with Rusev? Now he's rumored to come up at the SmackDown after Money in the Bank. He was supposed to come to SmackDown today.
Yeah, Rusev was supposed to be at Money in the Bank getting his title match or being in the briefcase match. It's like, what the fuck?
No, but even before that, though, he was supposed to be on SmackDown like 2 weeks ago. And still nothing, bro.
Wow.
One thing about SmackDown that I got to get on my chest, they need to stop having Nakamura do promos and being in every episode. Nakamura should be like 3 matches a month.
Like Lesnar.
Yeah.
You should be like Lesnar.
Yup.
You should be.
Once in the blue.
Well, like, you know, one SmackDown, one not.
No, and not only that, they need to stop referring to him as the artist, as Shinsuke Nakamura. No. I'm not gonna accept But anyways, in closing, I just want to say that this whole John Cena thing, it's ridiculous, and if they think that Cena being on both shows is gonna help up their ratings, it's not, number one. And number two, it just goes to show you how who they prioritize, because while Cena can be on both shows and nobody says nothing, like, nobody else can?
Exactly.
Like, if that's the case, then why have a fucking brand split? Why do the brand split if you're, at the end of the day, you're still going to do whatever the fuck you want?
So. Yeah, it's like, get rid of it. The brand split, I think, is hindering the company as it is anyway.
Yeah, I think they planned it without thinking too far ahead. They just did everything by the fly. And the way they put their storyline, the way the show has been running, you can see it. Everything has been half-assed. They're doing everything by the fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've never, ever, ever, ever been in favor of the brand split. And not when they first did it, and when they did it now. It ruins the company and makes it worse every time.
Look, T, you can understand in the first time. You know, they just got another company. They had 50 more wrestlers. You know, it was a really, really big roster. Now what? There's like not even 100. Not even 100.
Superstars
on that roster. And then, if you think about it, they don't even have 10 main event stars. They probably have like 5. And then everybody's mid-card.
So. Yeah, because, I mean, on SmackDown, they really don't even have a main event scene, to be honest with you.
Only got 2 people.
Honestly, Kevin Owens is the main event scene. Because at this point...
And AJ.
At this point, the United States Championship means more than the World Heavyweight Championship. Ever since they took it off Bray, that title's meant shit.
Yeah, it went down.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with Ginger having it. I just was not okay.
I'm okay with Ginger.
With Randy. I'm not okay with Randy.
I'm okay with Ginger. Fuck Randy Orton. But I'm not okay with just having him leapfrog every fucking body else. That's what bothers me.
Gotta build him slowly.
Exactly. If this were built for 2 months, 3 months,
I wouldn't even take 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. If he was on a momentum streak, mm-hmm. getting good victory, you know, over reputable people, you know, like beating people like Zayn, beating people like, you know, Mojo Rawley. But, you know, reputable people, I'd be like, you know what, hey, he's earned this kind of shot. And he's worked his way up to the bottom of the card. Cool. This motherfucker, it was from night to day. From night to day. And I like Ginger. I like the change. I just don't like him leapfrogging over everybody else. That's my ass. But, this is all by design. There's a reason why he was chosen, because of their expansion to India and et cetera, et cetera. But,
what was happening?
Anyways, moving on from that, Chris Jericho to be out of action longer than expected. The Ayatollah of Rock and Roll himself, Chris Jericho, may not be returning to WWE TV as soon as most expected. As you are aware, Jericho is currently on tour with his band Fonzie. In the most recent episode of Talk to Jericho, Y2J stated that he wants Fonzie to be the best possible band that they can be, and he wants them to get the spots they have on their own merit. The latest edition of the Wrestling Observer newsletter is reporting that Fonzie has picked up more tour dates. The band will now be on tour until November or so. We will not be seeing Y2J for quite some time. T, I know Y2J is your guy, so I'll let you go ahead and speak on.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is like bittersweet, honestly, for me, because for Jericho to go out and want to make Fozzy the best band possible on their own merit, I mean, you know, that's what you should do. Make them earn the top spot as one of the best bands in, you know, in the country, if not the world, if they want to go global. But the flip side of the coin is Jericho being out of the ring and not getting to see him wrestle and, you know, get to see him do what he does best. But I've always supported Jericho. I'll continue to support Jericho. And you know what? I gotta stand by him and support him now. You know, this is his choice. He has a vision of where he wants his band to go. I can't fault him for it. And, the one thing that I do hope in the end is that he will come back to the ring one day and, hopefully this extended time away from the ring will, put Fozzy on that upper echelons of metal bands and, really get their name out there. I hope this extra time away will really be worth it for Chris Jericho and to really get Fozzy's name out there.
I know he's your guy, I know you're a big fan, but honestly, he does this every year, once a year, or once every 2 years, or every other year, whatever, where he comes back, he has a good time, and he goes away, does his plan, and a year later he comes back, and it's the same cycle.
Yeah.
And you know, you could see right before his final match with Owens and stuff, you could see the touring was taking his body. You could tell he was a little bit slower. He wasn't as agile as he used to be. You could tell he needed the time off. And he's getting up there in age. And, you know, guys like him, you know, he's practically a legend. And if he needs time off, hey, if he needs time off, let him do his thing. You know, sort of like the Austin Aries thing, you know, a little banged up here and there. So let him take his time off. Let him heal up. When he comes back, pick up right where he left off with Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens is obviously doing the whole highlight reel shit now. He's mocking him. So you know they're going to have a program whenever he comes back. And, you know, a guy like Y2J, whether I, whatever my opinions of him or not, whether I like him or not, which y'all know I'm not a fan of his, but his last run really started making me warm up to him more. With the whole, you know, the list and you're going to get it and, you know, all these catchphrases and stuff. In ring wise, no, I'm not a fan. But gimmick wise and character wise, he's won me over in that department. But a guy like Y2J, who's essentially a living legend, bona fide future Hall of Famer, he needs to have his swan song. He's not just, you know. He's not gonna do an Undertaker with, is he gone? Is he not gone? No, no, no. Y2J, time to go, and he feels the need to hang up the boots and hang up the tights. He will have his final match, most likely at a WrestleMania, and he'll have his retirement match, and he'll be retired, and then probably the following year be inducted into the Hall of Fame. He needs to have his swan song. So don't think that he's done. Don't think that this is over for him. It's not. He needs to have his final goodbye in the ring. It's a, you know, have a good, you know, couple month feud with a high profile guy. And, Jericho needs to show people why he's the best in the world at what he does. why he is the Ayatollah of rock and roller, and why he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, man. Whether I like him or not, I call it how it is, and I know, you know, I give respect where respect is due, and Jericho is the utmost respect for what I've done in WWE. He's been with the company for 2 years now.
In November, he's would have had a 27-year career. Or in October, actually. October.
Career, but in WWE, he's been, what, like 18 years?
Yeah, August 9th will be 18 years.
Exactly.
So, then he came in the 90s?
No, he came 99, 2K, yeah. But, hey, man. Whoever he feuds against, whoever's going to retire him, whoever puts him away, which I think is going to be Owens. I think Owens is going to retire him. I don't think Jericho is going to, you know, I don't think he's going to do an Undertaker and keep wrestling until he's like 50-something years old.
Yeah.
I think maybe next year probably will be his last, and then that'd be it. I don't think he's going to push himself that much. But I think Owens would be the perfect guy to retire him. Even though Jericho already put him over, Owens was such a mark for him, you know, and they showed that in the pictures when they were feuding and stuff. It just makes sense, you know. Put the young talent over, you know, take your bow, and take your Hall of Fame ring, man. He has nothing else to prove. But he wants to win the title one more time before he retires. Not that I would be opposed to it, but let's be honest, that's not gonna have a lot of legs.
Yeah.
No, that's gonna be a nostalgic run. It's not really gonna be a run like, he's the top guy of the brand. No, it's gonna be he's just putting it on and right before he takes his bow and leaves, sort of like Goldberg. But I just want him to retire already. He more than proved himself. He's more than showed why he is the best in the world at what he does, like he says. And you know, just with the gimmicks and reinventing himself each and every time he's come back and then adding moves to his repertoire. And, you know, he really is a legend. And that man he's done so much for the business. It's time for us to give our thanks.
Yeah.
Take your bow, take your ring, and once he does that, hey, he can be Fozzie full time. He doesn't need to do WWE.
But hopefully, end up retiring when they get a WrestleMania in England. I would like to see that, not Canada. I doubt Canada, but they should definitely go for England.
They should.
Well, and you got anything else to add to me?
I just, when it comes to Jericho, and like I see Teddy, who always watches us, he says Chris Jericho, one of the all-time greats. I think he's a legend. I'm a fan of Chris Jericho since he was in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. That's what Teddy had to say.
Wow. What's up?
Yeah, Jericho was in Smoky Mountain. I mean, there were so many great memories.
A lot of guys came from Smoky.
I'll never forget anything, with Jericho. Honestly, my best Jericho memory that I had, obviously, is when they had Unforgiven 2008 in Cleveland, and I was second row for that show. And him and Shawn Michaels fought in a non-sanctioned match, which is my two favorite wrestlers. Mm-hmm. See them go at it and go through a brutal match. And then Jericho gets the last laugh at the end of the night in the scramble match. Orton punts. This is the only time I'll thank Randy Orton for something. Randy Orton punted CM Punk, who was then the world champ, in the head, punted him, took him out of the scramble match, and then Jericho came down at the end, pinned Batista, and won the championship. Or wait, he pinned Kane. He pinned Kane because it was a six-person scramble or five-person scramble where you could beat anybody. And, you know, at the when the time ran out on the clock, he would be the champ. And there was like 10 seconds left in the clock. Jericho gets in the ring, pins Kane, wins the world title for the first time since WrestleMania 18. Yeah. So he won the title for the first time in 6 years. And I remember I was just absolutely ecstatic. And for that to even happen in Cleveland yet, in my hometown, that was some special shit.
There's another name that you just mentioned, who, just as Jericho, also deserves all the praise in the world and deserves to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he has a fucking accolades as long as I've been living, man, and that man is Kane.
Yeah,
I think he's like one of your favorites.
Especially when I was young. I mean, when I was young, I was way more Kane fan. But hold on, real quick. My best Jericho moment is when he won the Universal. I remember at the time, Undisputed. Me and my family will get together. I mean, not my family, but you know, like my cousins and my older brother's friends. So there's a lot of older guys. Usually me, one more of my cousins will be the young ones. And it was all going for like, you know, Austin, The Rock. I remember me and my cousin, just to piss them off, going for Jericho. The reaction in their face at the end of the match was so priceless. That remember their faces and how happy I was. And I'm gonna be honest, I wasn't a big Jericho fan like that. I still like him. I mean, respect him, but it was awesome.
That was a great night.
Jericho has pissed me off so many times, especially when he won that title, man. I was royally pissed off, man. I was tight. But you know what? That means he did his job, because if he was a heel and he made me hate him, hey, yo, he's doing his job well.
And my thing is for them to give him that opportunity and for him to do that, that means somebody in the back must have believed in him. And at the time, I didn't see why, but that's what's up.
And at that time, especially because you had The Rock, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin, you had Hulk Hogan even coming back, you had Triple H. This is when they were having that big roster, you know, that you were talking about back in these days. And
you know, all those guys you mentioned.
Kurt Angle.
All of them main eventers.
Yeah.
All of them future Hall of Famers, you know.
And for some reason, Jericho got pushed ahead of the pack.
Yep.
To be the guy to become the first ever undisputed champion.
Nobody can ever take that away from him.
Exactly. It's in the history books. But anyways, in closing, I just want to say, listen, Jericho, take all the time that you need. Take all the time that you need, heal up your injuries, and have fun. Enjoy your tour with your band, enjoy touring the world, and enjoy making fucking money. Because WWE's door is always going to be open for you, because he's even gone on record to say that he'll never go to any other company for the rest of his life. He's WWE for life. And I believe him. He's been loyal to the company, and Jericho's earned his keep, and he's earned his spot in the Hall, as a future Hall of Famer, and he will be. He will be. But just enjoy your tour, and hopefully the next time he comes into a WWE ring, it's for it'll be his final tour, his final run, and it's a happy ending to his long, illustrious career.
I hope so. I hope it'll be a great final run when it happens, but I know that, that Hall of Fame induction will definitely be the most emotional night that I'll have as far as being a wrestling fan.
Oh man, I believe you, brother.
Yep.
But,
well earned.
Moving on. Big Show says he hates WWE TV. Says it's time wasting. Takes a few shots at WWE creative. The seven-foot giant, the Big Show, has voiced his frustration with WWE TV on the latest episode of Chris Jericho's podcast, Talk is Jericho. Big Show apparently believes that WWE TV is a waste of time and had much more to say about it. Here's an excerpt from that particular portion of the podcast. And I quote, "I love the live events. I hate TV. TVs, I just want to bash my skull into the camera. They're just long, useless, time-wasting bullshit days where you sit around all day for some friggin' idea that just sucks, debating it for hours with 17,000 inputs, you know? One or two guys laced up a pair of wrestling boots know what they're talking about. The others that never laced up a pair and don't know shit. For some reason, they're telling you what to do, and you're just sitting there baffled. Like we all have that look at TV. We walk around baffled, like, well, why are we doing this? I've done a lot of stuff where I just go down, knock somebody out, and I leave. I hate that. I get it. I'm old and beat up. They're trying to help me out and extend me. But I like getting in the ring. Whether you like my character or not, most of the shit on TV and pay-per-views, I didn't get to pick to do. Anyways, don't be mad at me. Be mad at the people who booked this shit. But getting in the ring and actually working, I love working. The stuff that's going on now, there's a lot of change going on. There's a lot of new talent. There's a lot of new opportunities. And I'm okay with that. It should get the TV time. They should get the pay-per-view. I'm totally fine with that. Just don't make me go to Mondays where I have to deal with that. That shit pisses me off. If I'm coming, use me. If you're not, send me home." End quote. Man. Mighty, mighty, mighty angry words from Big Show. What do you guys gotta say about this?
I'm surprised he actually said something about it. I think we all can agree with that. It's really stupid that they have writers that, one, don't know shit about the product. Two, they're not even fans of the product. Three, I heard something that one time they had a writer who was actually a wrestling fan. And because he used a wrestling term, Stephanie fired him.
An insider term.
Yeah, insider term. She fired him. She wants no writers to be fans. They get people that write The Walking Dead, even One Pro Sons of Anarchy. What the hell these guys know about wrestling? Great.
Yeah, definitely Big Show's terms are something to be agreed with. And, you know, I'm sure he's retiring very soon, so I'm sure he doesn't give a crap what he says at this phase in his career. And, you know, he's just looking at it as, if you want to fire me, but I'm going to say my piece. And I got to say, I agree with him. And Teddy says he's got to go right now and take care, guys. You take care, Teddy. We'll talk to you soon.
God bless you.
But definitely agree with Big Show here on this, and we'll just have to see where it goes in the future.
We need more people to come out, more people to say it. Cause I've heard a lot of shoot interviews of people saying it.
I mean, I agree 100% with Big Show, man. He said himself in just a few short words. If I'm there, use me. If not, send me home. I'm sure like 85% of that locker room can agree with that statement. Because every week, and it's the same 5 to 10 people on TV.
Yeah.
The same people. Especially if you're a champion, it's the same people with the same segments. It comes out the same all the time. And how many times, like for example, this past Monday, was it Monday or was it 205 Live? When fucking Cedric Alexander and Noam Dar had that 5 second match.
Oh, that was Monday. Yep.
Wow.
The dude comes out, Noam Dar comes out to face Cedric Alexander. The whole time, Noam Dar is like this on the fucking phone, FaceTiming with fucking Alicia Fox. The whole time, FaceTiming her. He gets into the ring, he fucking puts the phone down, and he turns around, and he fucking gets hit with Cedric Alexander's finisher. All because he wanted to be on the fucking phone.
Wow.
So you're telling me.
On a 3 hour show.
On the, number one, on a 3 hour show, you have 3 hours and you got a 5 second match. Number one. Number two, you're telling me you call these motherfuckers in to work and these motherfuckers gotta go, they gotta get ready, they gotta lace their boots up, they gotta put their tights on, they gotta get all pretty, they gotta fucking drive, they gotta drive to the fucking town or fly to the fucking town from wherever they live. And Noam Dar, I'm pretty sure he lives up somewhere in Scotland, so that motherfucker gotta fly all the way from Scotland to wherever the fuck Louisiana they was at. And you're telling me, just for he could lose in 5 seconds? What the fuck are they smoking? What the fuck is up with creative?
Yeah.
I agree 100% with what Big Show says. And you know what? The same can be said for Big Show that was said for Chris Jericho and Kane. This man is a future Hall of Famer. I don't know why he's not a Hall of Famer now.
Yeah.
And the Big Show, at this point, I feel like the company needs the Big Show more than the Big Show needs the company. He don't need the company. He's already made his millions. He's already toured the world. He's rich as hell. He's already done everything he had to do. He's won titles left and right. He's broken accolades. He's broken world records.
You should go to Ring of Honor.
And these people don't utilize him. These people don't utilize him. Same thing goes for Mark Henry.
I mean,
Mark Henry's another guy who's a future Hall of Famer, and they don't fucking utilize him. I'm pretty sure he'd be backstage with nothing to do. Titus O'Neil, he'd be there every week. He ain't got nothing to do.
Rhino's in backstage. Rhino.
I mean, this past Monday they were there. But it's the first time since the shakeup. When was the shakeup, T? Like in March?
It was in April, the second Raw after Mania.
Yeah.
April. What are we now in? We're in June.
Yeah.
So you're telling me for a whole month they've been on Raw.
Yep.
And now is the first time we're seeing them?
Yep.
Like, if I'm there, use me.
Yeah.
If not, let me be home.
Yeah.
He summarized of it in just those short few words.
But another thing is like, look at the pay-per-view card. Look at these matches that they set up for the pay-per-view. And this really pisses me off. So, okay, we're gonna have this guy versus this guy on Sunday at the pay-per-view. They should not be fighting every week until that pay-per-view. They should mix it up. Use these people that are not in storylines to have single competitive match. So we don't have to see that guy fight the other guy that we're supposed to see and care about on the pay-per-view. That's retarded. See the same matches every week.
But what you're saying though, that's them being utilized. At least they're being utilized. At least they're on TV. What he's saying is, motherfuckers that be backstage and don't have nothing to do.
Yeah, no, but that's what I mean. Instead of them being backstage doing nothing, they should have love fight the guys that we see all the damn time. So like that, we won't have to see them fight every week. If we're supposed to care about them fighting on the pay-per-view.
No, that's understandable. But still, that's a different topic. That's a different topic, bro. Because this shit right here, like you're telling me a guy like the Big Show, who's a legend, and they don't have anything for him? They don't have any storylines for him? They don't have any feuds for him? I don't understand, bro.
I'm pretty sure he's getting more money than any other guy who's on that card.
I don't know how he got money if he ain't working. Anyways.
He only makes $2 million a year.
But anyways, moving on. This is something I wanted to pick. Shinsuke Nakamura may have reviewed Dolph Ziggler's post-WWE plans. Following last night, following Tuesday night's SmackDown Live, 205 Live, the King of Strong Style, Shinsuke Nakamura, joined Talking Smack with Renee Young and JBL. While Shinsuke was going over one of his opponents in the Money in the Bank ladder match, Dolph Ziggler, Shinsuke appeared to have said, if he goes to Japan, probably soon. That has sparked great interest into whether Ziggler will be heading over to Japan once his WWE contract expires. It is also very possible that Shinsuke slipped up on a few words, seeing as how his English is not his first language. What do you think about that, Shinsuke?
Man, if Dolph Ziggler can go to New Japan or Japan, wrestle, can you picture how he'd be booked with the way he sells?
I picture him in the Bullet Club immediately, following in the footsteps of Cody.
Definitely.
He's the perfect fit. Get rid of Hangman Page and put in Ziggler.
He would be a heel with the Bullet Club. His matches would probably be his best work that he's ever had. He would be treated.
Or get rid of Chase Owens.
Yeah.
Chase Owens is barely ever utilized. He's a fucking jobber in that sense. If he's on the card, he's just there to get a. He's just there to get pinned. He ain't winning matches. And Ziggler would fit him. Perfect on the thing. The Young Bucks and with Kenny and Cody.
Perfect. Oh, Ziggler, he would be treated perfectly, you know, just like a main eventer, the way a main eventer should be, and I can picture all the classic matches he can have, the phenomenal heel run he could have with the being a member of the Bullet Club. I mean, I'm for it all the way. Hashtag Ziggler for Japan.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Check this out. WWE set to begin a romantic storyline featuring Bayley and Corey Graves.
What the fuck?
As seen on the most recent episode of Monday Night Raw, Raw announcer Corey Graves hosted a sit-down interview with the former Raw Women's Champion, Bayley. As seen in the interview, the ending was very awkward in Bayley asking Graves for a hug, which then caused Graves to say that he needs a cigarette following the segment. Dave Meltzer has speculated on the Wrestling Observer Radio that this may be leading to a romantic storyline featuring the two. According to Meltzer, this is WWE's way of getting Bayley's character to move on from not being in the Raw Women's title picture. What do you think about that?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, honestly, it's gonna be what it's gonna be. But I think, ultimately it's just gonna lead to another flop because guys in the back that are working creative, instead of keeping this about the wrestling, they wanna pull in these love interests and, well, cause they're fucking soap opera writers writing wrestling, so now they wanna turn it into fucking Days of Our Lives. It's gonna flop.
Personally, I think Uncle Dave is wrong. And I think it's just that, just a rumor. It doesn't necessarily mean that's what it's gonna be. I don't know what they're gonna do with Bayley, but they gotta do something with her because it's gotten to the point where she's getting booed, and Bayley is possibly the easiest character to book. She's the lovable underdog baby face. Yeah.
Especially for women's, there's only a few of them in there. How are they having problems booking this? This is retarded.
The only reason that she's getting booed right now is because of creative. It's because of booking. Because you go to the Bayley of NXT, oh man.
Yeah.
How did they get it right down there? Well, again, come to Monday Night Raw, that's where your career goes to fucking die.
Yep. One day.
It's like, let's kill your career right now. That's basically what it's like.
Anyway, it's like they both wrong.
Alrighty. Just got a few more to go, and then we'll be done.
Okay.
WrestleMania headed to the UK? Synopsis for WWE Unreleased, 1986-1995 DVD. The Independent posted an article about the possibility of WWE holding an upcoming WrestleMania in London. They reference a survey that WWE sent out this week to WrestleMania 33 attendees, asking their interest in future venues, including locations such as New York City and Toronto. The last time that WWE has held a live pay-per-view event in the country was back in 1992 at the WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view. And then it says WWE will be releasing the unreleased 1986-1985 DVD in August in the United States and the United Kingdom in September. This will be a 3-disc DVD set courtesy of Wrestling DVD Network. Here's a synopsis for the DVD. WWE unlocks the vault and brings you a never-before-seen matches from 1986-1995. Check out these unreleased hidden gems featuring some of the greatest superstars in WWE history. Future superstars such as Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior, Andre the Giant, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect, and more. Never before seen matches from the years 1986 to 1985. Stupid. Anyway, what are your thoughts on this, man?
Hey, if WrestleMania goes to the UK, it would be awesome, but, you know, WWE, they're going to choose it pretty much wherever they want it to go. I mean, with the time difference, I don't know if they'll ever have WrestleMania in the UK because the bulk of their audience in the US would have to tune in and start watching WrestleMania at 2:00 in the afternoon. And that's just for the main card. The pre-show would start at noon.
Yeah, but if you think about it, it's on the network.
Yeah.
And what was it, 2 years ago when they had Beast in the East in Japan, I stayed up for that shit. It was like, I was like from 4:00 in the morning to like 7:00 in the morning or 6:00 in the morning, something like that.
Remember I was in the hospital
at the time. Yep, I stayed up to watch it. So, honestly, it's not like their ratings are gonna get hurt because there is no ratings. It's on the network. It's a network.
But I do understand what that means, though. I do see them as a problem. And thinking about that, I don't think they're ever going to get it. The best they're going to get is probably Canada.
So yeah, but even if we don't get a WrestleMania over there, at least a pay-per-view. I was reading it on Reddit earlier, and they were like, look, even if we don't get a WrestleMania, hell, I'll be fine with a B-level pay-per-view, they said.
Yeah.
A B-level pay-per-view they take over there. And let's face it, I mean, they're, in terms of audience, they're probably the best crowd audience, the best wrestling audience in the world. You know, next to, you know, obviously us, New York, and Chicago and Philly.
Yeah.
Like, in the world, they're probably number one, though.
They're better than LA.
They're better than us, probably, in the world. I mean,
yeah.
not just, you know.
I know, they're definitely on the top.
They're like in the top. They come up with these chants. They come up with these. They're the best. And they're passionate as fuck. Yeah,
they're alive doing the whole match.
Yeah. Anyways, I would like to see something more than just the UK tournament over there. You know, more than just UK wrestlers.
Yeah.
I want to see a pay-per-view over there, at least.
At least Survivor Series.
Yo, T, you there?
Yep. I'm here. Yeah.
Well, what do you think, though?
Well, you know, it wouldn't be nice to see it happen because England is damn passionate about what they do and how they root for their wrestling. But, you know,
it's up to WWE in the end. I think they should do it. It would be interesting. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully England does get, you know, at least a pay-per-view if they don't get a Mania out of this. Let's hope.
Yeah, I hope they get something.
Yeah, man. Something. They deserve it.
Definitely.
Final two stories. This is a two-part in one story. It says, Roman Reigns hypes his big announcement. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal to headline SmackDown Live events. WWE is advertising Jinder Mahal defending the championship against Shinsuke Nakamura at SmackDown Live events. It should be noted that Randy Orton is not advertised to work those shows, and it appears that Nakamura is just filling in for Orton on live events. Here's the lineup for the live event in Everest. What is that? Homie? Is that their show? WA or Wyoming? I don't even know.
I don't even know.
Washington.
Washington is WA.
It shows how American I am, right? So the lineup is Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the WWE. Why don't they put WWE Championship? Yeah. WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Come on. Kevin Owens versus Mojo Rawley for the US Championship. Really?
Oh, God.
The New Day versus the Usos versus Breezango for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. But anyway, that's that. Now the other part says, as noted, Roman Reigns is making an announcement regarding his plans for the SummerSlam pay-per-view event at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn on next week's episode of Raw. Reigns took to Twitter to make his announcement. He sent out his account. And this is Roman Reigns on Twitter. This is what he says. Not everyone is going to like what I say, but you don't want to miss it. My yard, my rules. Hashtag raw, hashtag born to reign. What do you guys think about this?
That'll be the next fucking t-shirt.
Yeah.
Born to Rain. There's your next fucking t-shirt for WWEShop.com. That's what I got out of that. I mean, whatever Roman Reigns does, he does, to be honest. As far as the SmackDown live events, Shinsuke Nakamura and Jinder Mahal, they better have screwjob finishes where Jinder gets disqualified because Shinsuke Nakamura better not be fucking getting pinned by Jinder Mahal. I don't care if it's on TV or not. It better not fucking happen.
Man, you think fucking
those stuff.
Yeah. Oh no, man, they might make Shinsuke lose.
I hope not, bro.
Nobody stays on the feet of the WWE unless your name is Roman.
You know? And I think I was listening to, I don't know if it was JD or Meltzer talking about that, Triple H is frustrated with Vince over the Nakamura entrance and other booking problems with Nakamura. So, who knows?
Yeah, because Triple H wants to showcase him as the main event talent that he is. Vince doesn't get it. Vince doesn't understand it. He just wants it to be another face in the crowd. But anyways, my thoughts on this shit, I could care less about that SmackDown Live card. If it's a house show, it means nothing. And it's in fucking Washington State of all places. It's meaningless. What it is. Because when I went to live events, the house shows, when I went with my boy Calvin up in Westchester, it meant absolutely nothing. I mean, fucking Kevin Owens is a universal champion at the time, and he's getting pinned cleanly by fucking Reigns. Why? Why? He's a fucking champion. He shouldn't be losing.
Yep.
And how is that sending the crowd home happy when fucking half the crowd don't like Reigns? Anyways, fuck that live event. Now, in terms of what, regarding his Roman Reigns announcement?
Not too much.
I think I already told you, T, but in case the people, the audience watching doesn't know, my thought is Roman Reigns is going to come out and he's going to say, whoever wins between Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar, I'm facing the winner at SummerSlam. Why? Because this is my yard now. That's it. That's what I think he's gonna say. Just like that. Short, simple, sweet. And then it'll most likely come out. Some jobber to come out to face him. Like The Miz, and you'll get pinned in like 5 minutes, and then that's it. That's what's gonna happen next week on his announcement. Mark my words.
Wow. Man. We'll have to see. I hope to God not, but before you get to the headline story and I get into the ratings and stuff, I just got a little bit of breaking news coming across right now. Possible matches for this year's SummerSlam event. The following matches are being rumored for this year's SummerSlam event, courtesy of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. So Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer Newsletter is reporting this. He's predicting it to be Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman, John Cena versus Jinder Mahal, and Triple H versus Kurt Angle. With WWE holding for back-to-back shows in the row at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, they are expecting to make this show as big as possible. Those events include NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 on August 19th, SummerSlam on August 20th, Raw on August 21st and SmackDown Live on August 22nd. So that's potentially your triple main event. I mean, we'll see how it goes, but if you want to give a quick thought on that you can, but I'm sure we'll have more details for that as they become available in the coming weeks.
Nah, I'll sit around and wait to see what happens. It's too early to call anything.
Yep.
Too early to call anything, cause their plans change on the fly.
All the time.
So right now they might have it penciled in, but it's not set in stone. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. What else you got? And then don't forget we got Money in the Bank preview predictions coming up next.
I got the main story, but you want to go ahead and do your stuff before the main story, or how do you want to do it?
Oh, you can do the main story right now, and then I'll close out with the ratings report and stuff like that.
All right. Give me a second. Let me wait until Anthony comes back. Getting us some beers. But, I mean, if the audience has read the headline of tonight's show, and they should already know what the main story is.
Yeah, I mean, we've actually been talking about it quite a bit, but, you know, you and me amongst ourselves. But, yeah, for nobody that knows, we're going to give it to you right now.
Braun Strowman's WWE return. It's an update on his WWE return. And it says here, as previously noted on EWN, which is E-Wrestling News, by Andrew Ravens, the monster among men, Braun Strowman, has been cleared to return to the ring by WWE doctors. The plan for Braun Strowman this summer is still intact, which will see him up against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam for the WWE Universal Championship. It's also being reported that Strowman will be competing at the upcoming Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view on July 9th. And his opponent is expected to be Roman Reigns. This upcoming Monday Night Raw, Reigns will make his big announcement on what his plans are for SummerSlam, which we may see Braun come crash the party.
Horrible.
Go ahead and speak on.
I mean,
how's this horrible? That Strowman is coming back?
No, not the Strowman. I don't know about him fighting Roman, because I know if he fights Roman, he's going to lose. He's going to be a clean victory. Now, if they might give us a swerve and have him be the one to pin Roman, I would be definitely okay with this. But I know it's not going to happen. I know better than that. And is that going to be a dusty finish? Or is just... disqualification or a gimmick match.
What do you think, T?
See, I'm actually thinking different. I'm thinking I think this whole thing will happen. Strowman's gonna come back before Roman gives his announcement. Then Roman's gonna get pissed off. He's gonna make a match with Strowman. And it's going to be a number one contenders match. Whoever wins, you know, either Roman or Strowman will get, you know, either Brock or Joe at SummerSlam, which I think this will lead into Braun, and this match would take place at Great Balls of Fire, by the way. So I think that would lead to Strowman to beat Roman, Brock will beat Joe. This will lead to your Braun Strowman Brock Lesnar match for SummerSlam, and they're gonna throw Roman into something else. I have a feeling that it might even be Finn Balor with Roman at SummerSlam, the way it's been going with them, with Roman beating Balor before Extreme Rules, and then they were getting into it at the end of the match until Joe got involved and choked Balor out. So I'm thinking that's the way they're gonna go here.
I I agree, but you went into super detail, like you fucking saw the future. I'll take it a little bit more simpler. I definitely see Strowman crashing, like they said in the story, crashing Reigns' little announcement, which, as I said, is going to be him saying, I'm facing the winner, whoever wins between Joe and Lesnar from Great Balls of Fire. Roman Strowman to come out, because he's not finished with you, Roman, so he's going to come out. And he's like, yo, our little program's not done yet. We ain't finished. He's like, how about I give you a wager? We face each other at Great Balls, and whoever wins between us, then we get to face the winner between Joe and Lesnar. And since Roman beat Strowman last time, what was it, Payback? Payback, was it, team?
Yep, it was Payback.
Beat him at Payback. You know, WWE loves 50-50 booking. So Strowman would be Roman this time. And then it'll most likely be Strowman versus Lesnar at SummerSlam. And Roman to get back at Strowman to fucking interfere in that match and cause fucking Strowman the match, and Lesnar will beat him. Continuing their program all the way up until WrestleMania, where Reigns will eventually fight Lesnar for the title and eventually beat him for it. That's at least what I think is going to happen. So if everything goes as they want it planned, and Strowman isn't that badly injured that he's actually coming back, that's what I think is going to happen. Because, you know, Vince has been dreaming about having Strowman versus Lesnar since Strowman came into the fucking company. He's had wet dreams about this.
Hashtag big sweaty man.
He's had wet dreams. Match, so it's gotta happen. And it don't matter if it's gonna be SummerSlam, it don't matter if it's gonna be fucking Battleground, it don't matter what it's gonna be. It's gonna happen. Vince wants it to happen, so it will. Trust me.
You know he's pre-coming himself while he's thinking about it.
Yep.
Touching himself.
To their names.
What Vince wants, Vince always fucking gets too.
Yep. He wants those two to come head to head. And then he'll be coming himself. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, believe, check this out.
Believe that.
Does this even surprise you right here?
What's that?
WWE Raw ratings and viewership for Monday, June 12th, 2017. Brock's return does not help.
Of course not.
Following a large bump to its ratings and viewership last week for June 5th, Monday night's WWE Raw broadcast this week for June 12th saw a significant drop in viewership this week. The show came in at 2.54 million viewers, way down from last week's 2.994 million viewers. Raw faced some stiff competition on Monday night, with Game 5 of the NBA Finals drawing a staggering 24.446 million. That game pitting LeBron James, Cleveland Cavaliers, in an elimination game against the Golden State Warriors was by far the most watched show on television Monday night. When it comes to strictly cable television, Raw finished fourth in cable viewership Monday, trailing Tucker Carlson, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, and fucking Rachel Maddow? What the fuck?
They got beat by Fox and MSNBC.
I mean, if you're gonna get beat by fucking Rachel Maddow, you have a problem.
I mean, even Carl, whatever. Like, wow. Fox? Prime time? And are we really buying this that most wrestling fans are rather watch the basketball game instead of Raw? Matter of fact, I am buying it. I do believe that.
I was gonna say this Raw was such a piece of shit. Anything would have went, man. Anything. This show was fucking god awful. God awful. I think I would have had more pleasure fucking having a root canal. I mean, the first 20 minutes was great. The rest of it, take it and flush it down the fucking toilet because it didn't mean anything. It didn't mean nothing. Outside Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe, it meant nothing. Even Bray Wyatt, alright, even though Bray Wyatt's promo was enjoyable, here's the thing. Bray Wyatt's promo might have been enjoyable, but in the grand scheme of things, it meant nothing. It really didn't mean shit. Especially when he said something about people collapsing under the weight of their own sin or whatever, the world. Yeah, what sin? Wyatt's sin? Because he's cheating on his fucking wife?
Yeah.
Is he talking about himself in that promo?
That has nothing to do with nothing. Don't put this on Wyatt. Don't blame this shit on Wyatt. Come on now.
Hey.
Number one.
Do you blame him?
Exactly. Number one, have you seen JoJo? Number one.
No. Have you seen his wife?
No, have you seen JoJo? I don't care if you got a wife. Have you seen this woman? You telling me there's people in that company looking like Randy Orton, looking like Jinder Mahal, looking like Lesnar, looking like fucking Ziggler, looking like fucking Zack Ryder, these chiseled fucking Greek god looking motherfuckers. And she goes with the nigga that look like me? With the beard and the belly?
You must have that.
That mean my man got game. And it don't matter what you look like. It matters the game that you spit and your personality. It don't matter your looks. It matters your wit. It matters
what you're swinging to.
Listen.
You can lay down
a pipe. She was married, bro. She was married. Everybody told her, oh, but why was married? Nigga, she was married too. She was married to
JoJo?
Yeah, she was. Hell yeah, she was. To a white boy.
I had no fucking clue JoJo was married. Bro, I didn't even know she's ever even been.
If anybody knows, it's him.
Ain't nobody was talking about JoJo before this Bray Wyatt show. Are you kidding me? I've been looked up. She's half Dominican, you know that?
What?
She's half Dominican and Mexican, nigga. Oh yeah, I done my research. I fuck with JoJo. I fuck with JoJo a long way.
Now I know where she got that booty from.
That's why she got that ass. Now you know. She got that ass and that skin color because she's Dominican. That's how we look. You understand me?
Beautiful.
You understand me? That woman
Big
is
our... T, one year, one of these days, for a weekend, you got to come with us to the Dominican room.
We'll talk about that off air. Yeah. But everybody wants to talk about, Bray Wyatt. But dude, it's not Bray Wyatt's fault. Number one, ain't nobody knows what was going on in their home. In his home between him and his wife.
Yeah.
And why do you think so many wrestlers marry other wrestlers?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Because she's at home taking care of the two kids. And she barely ever sees his fucking man.
Yeah,
it's not his fault. He's providing for his fucking family. And I'm pretty sure this man comes home and gotta hear her bitching and nagging and complaining. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And why didn't you answer? Oh, your kids need to. That motherfucker like, yo, you know what, bitch? I'ma just fuck around with the bitches at my job.
I see every night.
Who travel with me every night? And you're gonna get your child support money, bitch. That's it. Yep. Stop fucking with me. I'm the one who's providing for the family. And my brother. The fuck on out of here. I don't fucking blame Bray Wyatt. Everybody went, Bray Wyatt. No, fuck out of here, man. Bray's doing his thing. Bray's doing his fucking thing.
Damn it, man.
This motherfucker was winning title shots, and what the fuck was this bitch doing? Who the fuck knows what this hoe was doing at home, bitching and complaining and shit to him and shit.
He
was probably being faithful to her ass.
I doubt it.
He was probably being faithful to her ass the whole time, but her bitching and nagging and complaining drove his ass to be like, you know what, now fuck this bitch. I know that's what, I know it'll do that type of shit to me.
If I'm being faithful and providing for the fucking family, this man making thousands of dollars money that this bitch, she probably fucking blowing it on bullshit. Yep. On probably on clothes and purses for her.
Her lifestyle.
Yeah. Cause she wants to be she wants to be basketball wives, right? She wants to live the life that she sees on TV. Yeah. And Bray Wyatt's over here having fucking support.
They blow the money on all the expenses. See it all the time.
Yeah. And have you seen Bray? Bray, he don't wear no fucking no fancy ass designer shit. He wear fucking jeans and boots and a t-shirt. That's it. He keeps it simple. He a little redneck boy. You're a regular guy. But no. Everybody's quick to fucking blame the fucking man in this situation. Fuck out of here. How about his fucking wife?
Yeah, where's she been?
Joe. Nigga, please get the fuck on out of here. If you're a fucking red-blooded man, I don't give a fuck if you're American or not. If you got a fucking sack between your fucking legs and you like fucking women, you're a heterosexual man.
And you see something
and you like women, like and you like me. Fucking women, and you gonna tell me that if this woman ain't fucking giving you the eye and giving you the attention and shit, you telling me you ain't gonna fucking splat that shit? I'll slap you upside your motherfucking head if you gonna come up here and tell me, oh no, I wouldn't touch that, bro. I wouldn't do that. Shut the fuck up, you fucking marks. The fuck is wrong with you? Was probably the hottest woman on that roster. Whoa. Next to fucking Bliss and
Nia
and
Nia Jax
and Lana.
Nia Jax.
I think Lana's probably the hottest.
Definitely not the hottest of the WWE.
Nikki hasn't been there for months and shit, but Nikki was always considered the hottest amongst the mainstream. Wow. Amongst the, you know, the masses. I think Lana was the hottest amongst the masses.
Yeah.
But my personal favorite has always been fucking Bliss. Y'all know this. I fucking love Bliss. Sasha, she fell down the totem pole ever since she fucking married Mikazi. Whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And JoJo always been on that fucking list.
Mine is Lana, Natty, Nia.
JoJo, Alexa, Lana, even slide Naomi in there, cause Naomi's another one with that booty.
Nah, like
Nia.
Nia got that booty.
I mean, but JoJo's little tiny little Polly Pocket with that booty. Naomi is like that nice medium-sized shit with that tremendo booty. And Nia, she's, you know, the XL booty. You understand?
BBW.
So, yeah, the BBW booty.
And
this guy.
You guys already know my answer.
Stephanie and Mae Young.
No.
Hey, what are you talking about? I mean, you do like, you feel like Stevie Nicks, who's fucking 69 years old, bro.
Stephanie McMahon, Sasha Banks.
I wouldn't be surprised if you like Mae Young too.
I don't go that far. Plus, Mae Young didn't look younger. She just didn't have that look that I go for. She didn't look young.
Is that your mom laughing in the background?
No, I didn't even hear her.
Laughing in the background.
All I can say is Mae Young, even though her last name was Young, she didn't look young, so nah.
Oh, you know, she
was hot in her back in her days, though. I've seen old pictures. She was.
She could teach you a few things.
In her prime, she was an attractive woman.
I know what it is.
But, yeah,
go ahead with the ratings.
Continue on with the ratings. Look at the week to week here on the graphic.
Put it up on the screen so the public can see.
You could see the hourly breakdown right there.
our 2.769 million.
Yeah, look at the week before. First hour, 2.769 million. Last week, or, you know, the week before, June 5th show was 3.113 million.
Mm-hmm.
This week's was 2.522 million. To the week before is 3.110 million. And then the third hour, holy fuck. This week's was 2.335 million. So yeah. The week before is 2.758 million viewers last week. Now, while the NBA Finals game certainly had an impact on WWE's ratings, no it didn't. It's just the show fucking sucks so much dick, who would want to watch it? Wow. It is interesting to note how the first hour viewership this week was down almost 400,000 viewers versus last week's show. That hour did not go head-to-head with the NBA Finals game as the game started at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All said, this number has to be a disappointment for the WWE considering how much they hyped Brock Lesnar's return to the show. However, the Samoa Joe Brock Lesnar segment has done very well in YouTube views. In the 18 to 49 age group demographic, Raw finished second for the night on cable television, trailing Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
Yeah,
wow. So people 18 to 49 are more interested in Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
People love
WWE.
Yeah.
Fucked, man. WWE is fucked. Jesus. Talk about a failing fucking brand.
Company.
This brand is company. Dying.
Company, not the brand. Company.
I just have one jingle in my head every time I see those numbers.
Glorious.
Hey, I agree with you, capital P.
I want to see how low can the ratings go before they finally, like, get that wake-up call, that slap across the face, like, yo, we got to fucking do something. Yeah. We're losing viewers. Like, I want that shit to drop to just 1 million. Just 1.0, just to see how crazy they'll start scrambling and shit.
Yeah.
Right there, they'll get that call from what? What's their company? Universal?
Yep.
NBC Universal, yeah.
NBC Universal, what the fuck is going on there, Vince?
We got a problem there.
What are these numbers? What the fuck is the meaning of this?
What's going on? Are you not going?
It's the were finals. You can only keep that up for so long. And as soon as the summer's over, you know what he's gonna start? Oh, well, the NFL. Motherfucker, you better take advantage of these precious months right now. This is the precious months right now. Where they need to fucking build up these storylines. Well, they should be doing this all year long. They should be doing this ever since the Raw after fucking Mania. But they take that one show, do good, and then after that, just shit.
Everywhere
else. They need to be building up these stories, especially now, right before the fucking football season starts. Build up these stories. Get people invested. Get people to care about these characters. Get people to care. Why the fuck should we care about a fucking baby? Ever since the This Is Your Life segment, her stock has just plummeted to the ground.
Everybody saw it come.
Plummeted, bro. She's getting booed. The most baby face in the fucking company.
Besides Cena.
No, because even Cena's getting fucking booed and cheered. She's getting legit booed.
Yeah.
It wasn't super loud. But the fact that this woman is getting booed, this never happened in NXT. In NXT, she was universally loved by everybody. Man, woman, and child.
Especially child. Remember that little girl?
Oh, especially that. But now, how the fuck you think Iggy feels seeing her fucking idol getting booed by that Monday Night Raw audience, huh? She probably feel like shit. Cause I'm pretty sure she's still a huge Bayley fan. And she probably thinking, why are you booing her? She didn't do nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But little does she see the bigger picture that, honestly, it's not that we're booing Bayley. It's not that we dislike Bayley. We like Bayley. We want to see Bayley do good. We're disliking the direction in which these motherfuckers are moving her. They've been destroying her fucking character. They've been fucking dragging her through the mud, making her seem like a geek, like a loser at every fucking corner. Same thing with Sami Zayn. Remember what I said to you? Sami Zayn or Bayley is the Sami Zayn of the women.
Yeah. And
vice versa. Sami Zayn is the Bayley of the women. He is a lovable underdog babyface. He's a fucking underdog from the underground. That's his fucking nickname, right?
Yep.
Yet, he's always the guy who could never win the big one. He always comes close. He always comes just in arm's reach. Never fucking wins it. And then whenever he cuts a fucking promo, especially whenever he's trying to strategize with his teammates, what's he doing? He starts going off on a tangent so much where the fucking teammates fucking just walk away from him.
They
make him look like a fucking geek, like the type of nerd that you don't want to sit next to you. And it's like, bro, really? Sami Zayn? One of the greatest wrestlers
on the roster.
Not just in the roster. And he's probably in the top 12 greatest wrestlers in the world right now. Probably.
What, top 20 for sure.
Top 20 for sure. Top 10, maybe he cracked the top 10. Top 12, I give it at least. For sure. But in that company, definitely he's in the fucking top 5 probably greatest. This is how you're utilizing this man? This is what you're doing to this woman? Man, I can't urge you. Yo, T, listen to me. Listen to me clearly, bro. I cannot urge you enough. I cannot urge you enough to watch the main. Watch the main.
I definitely will, man. There's no doubt about that.
The New Japan Show. Okada Omega 3. I can't urge you guys enough to watch my show.
I heard someone who was JD or another podcast talking about that. He was saying he wants the guys in New Japan come and do their little show in America. And in Cali, that it gets good, results.
Good reception.
Yeah. That they give, WWE money.
They will.
And be legit competition. Real competition. Cause I know that's gonna be the only way besides they losing the Universal contract that they're gonna be like, oh shit, we got a problem in our hand. So hopefully we get that.
Let's see what happens. All right.
What do you guys think of that?
Nice. Okay, can you put it on us too?
No, you need to put Beyond the Ring with Big T on the top and then put Big T on the bottom part.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then put featuring his name and then my name.
Yeah.
All New Japan does it.
But that's it, man. I really don't have nothing else to say about news and rumors. Let's wrap this up quick so we can start doing Money in the Busy.
Yep. I got one more thing before we head out of here, and that is the SmackDown ratings.
Nice.
And for SmackDown, surprisingly, it sounds even worse. Yeah, trust me, I want to head on to Money in the Bank and get those done real quick, but I want to just show you guys this, because this is friggin' horrible. Just when you didn't think it couldn't get any worse, it has.
Oh, yes.
Because check this shit out. WWE SmackDown Live ratings for June 13, 2017 Money in the Bank Go Home Show. Look at that headline. Draws lowest audience of the year. Yeah, and you know why they drew the lowest audience of the year? Because that fucking bitch over there in that picture on the right, Charlotte. That fucking bitch is the reason.
Come on, you cannot blame the whole show on her. Seriously.
She ruins the whole brand, capital P. She ruins the whole brand, P. The whole brand of SmackDown. She fucking ruins it.
He's talking about Charlotte, you know.
Did you tell him what happened?
See, you got a problem. Bro.
This week's SmackDown.
Not Charlotte, although.
Believe it when you
look at the picture. It's that bitch on the right.
It's Charlotte. But not Natty, right? Matt. Not the fact that fucking ever since Danny Bryan had his daughter, he hasn't been on fucking TV, right? Yeah, Matt Hardy just had his fucking child this week, and he's already back on fucking Raw, putting on a good fucking match, right?
With a bad leg.
No, where the fuck is Danny Bryan? Nobody ever talks about about Danny Bryan, right? Yeah. Oh, he's a sacred saint. It's taboo to speak about. Fuck that bullshit. Everybody wanna suck Brian's dick. But yeah, sorry, they don't wanna suck bullshit, right? The fuck that. If it wasn't for CM Punk, Brian would never be fucking over. Fuck out of here.
It's because of Charlotte. She ruins everything. And WWE will realize one day that she is fucking poison to the business.
Never gonna be looked at that. She's gonna be remembered as one of the greatest women wrestlers of all time. And you're gonna have to sit there and you're gonna have to take it. And you're gonna have to like it. You know?
I'll remember her as the woman that got everything she wanted just because of her fucking father.
Nah, you're gonna take it and you're gonna like it. She's gonna be remembered. She's already being regarded one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
I will always dislike her. And as you can see here, in the write-up, it says, ouch.
She hasn't even been wrestling for 10 years yet.
Yeah, so imagine how much more that has for my relationship with Charlotte to grow. It'll just make me dislike her more. Mm-hmm. But, it says, ouch, even without any nationally, broadcast competition from the major sports leagues, WWE's television performance continued to take a beating with the June 13th episode of SmackDown, the last show before the brand's big Money in the Bank pay-per-view this Sunday, at 2.072 million. It is not only the smallest viewership of the year, but it is the second worst number since the brand split in July of 2016. Only the November 8th edition on election night did worse.
Wow.
There was notable news event with Attorney General Jeff Sessions having testified before Congress earlier in the day, but it is still shocking to see SmackDown ranked 13th among cable originals. Ranked 13th, what the fuck? Ratings were no consolation, although WWE finished second behind ESPN 30 for 30. Among 18 to 49 year olds, the 0.63 share was down considerably from last week's 0.74. Big news at the pay-per-view might help the Fallout show next Tuesday. Otherwise, July 4th and John Cena's return likely can't get here soon enough for WWE officials. And that's SmackDown, guys. Absolutely fucking horrible there, ain't it?
God, I wish it didn't happen, SmackDown. I wish it would have been Raw.
Fuck them both.
Me too, man.
Fuck the whole company.
We'll see how much worse it gets going in the next week.
Yeah. Dude, they are the richest
most famous, most well-known professional wrestling, because they are a professional wrestling company. It's called World Wrestling Entertainment. Keyword being wrestling, not entertainment. They want to switch it. Oh, it's entertainment. Entertainment is not the most important aspect of wrestling, is because the wrestling is wrestling to us, the fans. So.
Oh my God.
What?
I love Lisa.
What?
What? Oh, she put some comments in here. I guess she wasn't a Mae Young fan. She put Mae Young was an old ugly bitch. And then she said, I think she would have been the perfect old thing for Sage, laughing my fucking ass off.
Listen, the only one in here that likes milk is not me. No, you like milk. I said gilfs. Because you like freaking 70-year-old Stevie Nicks. You know who Stevie Nicks is? Have you ever seen her?
Yeah.
Actually, she's 69. Oh.
70-year-old.
Yep.
You gotta round the number up just like my mom does, but then she says, fuck Gonzo, and fuck everybody!
Amen.
There you go. She's on fire in the live chat tonight.
This is who he's in love with.
Excellent. Yeah. I don't know how to rating. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. She better have a body.
That's her back in the day. This is her.
Now.
We put specifically 2017. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, this is the about. This is the woman he has wet hair.
And Lisa says Stevie is better than Mae Young.
That's cool. She'll take a poke. It'll be a 2-on-1. Last man standing match, and she's gonna be the last man standing.
No, I know who will take Mae Young. It could be a tag team match. Henry can take Mae Young for old time's sake.
It's gonna be you, Stevie, and Mae.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
You better watch it. You don't want Mae Young's ghost to come back from the afterlife and haunt you, bro.
She ain't haunting me. She ain't got nothing to do. She gonna come looking for you. You're the one that like that old head. You like that old.
He likes it
nice and aged, like some fine wine, don't you?
It's
nice and bright.
Fine wine or scotch or. You know, anything. There you go.
Whiskey.
Oh, yeah. He likes a nice and aged. Oh, yeah.
All that stuff's got to be nice and aged.
Oh, yeah. He takes no exception.
You know what's funny? I'm looking at this, too. It says, Beyond the Ring with Big T on top, and then it says, Big T featuring Sage and capital P.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Now people know. But I gotta say, I love you, Lisa. It's always fun to get you in the chat and start going at it with everybody. It's always a friggin' blast. But,
anyway. Yeah, before you started talking about my dreams. The fact of the matter is, the name of their company is World Wrestling Entertainment. Wrestling coming before the entertainment. Because before it even was WWE, it was WWE. Before WWF, it was WWF. worldwide wrestling federation, right?
Yeah.
And when you have companies like New Japan Pro Wrestling putting on 6-star-plus matches, 5-star-plus matches at every pay-per-view, not just, oh, no, we're just going to do this at Wrestle Kingdom. No, 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 no. They do this every month, every tournament, every classic that they have. They want to make these matches memorable. They want you to remember this for time and time to come. Not just, well, you speak about this over the water cooler at work the next day. No, no, no. They want you to take this with you for the rest of your life. Memories for the rest of your life. The way that fucking speak about when Hogan fucking turned on WCW and joined the NWO. And people still talk about that shit.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
About Austin and Rod. Triple H and Shawn. Shawn and Hogan. You get Hogan.
You don't talk about Hogan. But wrestling fans know that that is the greatest heel turn of all time. The Hogan heel turn. Oh, yes, it was.
Don't talk about that.
Listen, bro.
Casual, maybe.
No. No. It's the greatest heel turn of all time. It would always be remembered as the greatest heel turn of all time. Because you took the biggest baby face in the world. Not just the country. The world. And this nigga turned his back on all of us. He said, fuck you, little Hulkamaniacs. Fuck your vitamins and fuck your fucking prayers, nigga. I'm going to be WO for the fucking life. Then fuck you if you don't like it. Come on, man. Are you kidding me? The nigga who was fucking out here saving people's lives and shit just want to turn around one day and spit on us? That's, people still talk about that shit to this day. And that's what New Japan does. WWE? No. What, once a year for Mania? Are you serious? And when you really think about it, what's the last greatest WrestleMania moment? There's only three that I can remember off the top of my head.
Hardest.
Okay, four. You're going to have the Hardest. That's just really the return. That's just a return, though. No, that's just a return. That's just the greatest moment that happened at this past year's WrestleMania. But I'm talking about that people consider this one of the greatest things that ever happened at WrestleMania. Rollins' cash-in was one of the greatest. Was probably the greatest. Shane diving off the cell, I wouldn't consider that all that great. Because, number one, he didn't hit it. And number two, it was a one-spot match, really.
I haven't heard anybody talk about that.
No.
I don't remember one time somebody was like, oh, do you remember that? When
listen. Taker losing a history, number one. Number two, Brian winning that very same night. And number three, Seth Rollins catching. Those are like the top three that people are like, oh, my God, some of the greatest moments ever in WrestleMania history. That's just for fucking WrestleMania. What about the other show? Nobody gives a fuck about the other show. They don't do anything memorable at the other show.
No, they don't do anything.
When you look at fucking New Japan, these motherfuckers are doing memorable shit at every fucking show that they do.
They do. They do.
The junior weight fucking the junior heavyweight title match that they had to. Absolutely fucking incredible. Absolutely incredible, that match. These motherfuckers didn't do one wrestling move until like 10 minutes into the match. You hear me?
Damn.
They were slapping and kicking the fuck out of each other, stiff as shit. Yeah, motherfuckers in WWE want to bitch and complain. Oh, he chopped me too hard. Get the fuck out of here. These motherfuckers kicking, slap the fuck out of each other. Even at house shows, they stiff each other. Even at house shows.
Somebody like at his body feeling. That's like, how stiff he was.
Fucking she Shibata headbutted the fuck out of Okada, and that man is still into the hospital this day.
Can't feel his left arm.
This day, he can't feel the left side of his motherfucking body or the right side of his motherfucking body. Because of a, obviously, it was a very stupid fucking move. But you go back and you watch that match, and it leaves you with the fucking, it leaves you with your jaw open. Because you're like, holy fuck, that wasn't scripted. That wasn't staged. That was a legitimate headbutt. This man legitimately tried to fucking knock him out with his head. And he finished the fuck. He didn't win, but he finished it.
Yeah.
I wish it got around.
These motherfuckers and bitch and complain over a fucking challenge. Get the fuck out of here, you fucking pussies. Fuck them.
Well, let's move on so we can get Money in the Bank started up and leave this stream.
Yep.
But we gotta close it out with something that we usually always do every week, and
love and peace for the world.
I don't know. Whoa, do you wanna? Whoa, you got another story you wanna read?
Uh-huh. We gotta do wrestler of the week and match of the week.
Really? Really?
Yep.
No, we don't need to. It spoke for itself. Nobody needs to say anything. You know what it is. If you're
right, even
you know,
even if we know it, even if we know it, we still got to give it to the fans.
Alright. Should I go or do you want to? I'll let you.
What if we all do it at the same time?
What, match of the week?
Match of the week, yeah, then superstar of the week. Or wrestler of the week.
2-1.
Omega and Okada. Dominion.
Dominion. New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I didn't see the match, so I don't know.
Now.
Bro, put it this way. If the first match got 6 stars from Meltzer, this one got 6.25. So 6.25, nigga.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. As far as wrestler, they're tied. For me?
Nah, I'll give it to Joe.
For me, they're tied.
For me, it's for
my Oh, you'll give it to Joe? Okay.
For having the balls to really fight Lesnar. He was giving him some stiff shots.
Okay.
So I scared
him. Well, because wrestler of the week and match of the week, it's not just tied up to WWE.
No.
If we're gonna do WWE, for me, wrestler of the week, definitely Samoa Joe.
Oh yeah, easily.
Definitely Samoa Joe, and match of the week in WWE would most likely probably be that the six man.
Yeah, the six man on SmackDown.
Yeah. WWE, but I'm talking in the entire world of wrestling, and ain't nobody talking about no WWE here. I'm talking about Kenny Omega, because Omega's hot in terms of the greatest.
And you're tying them for Wrestler of the Week. You're tying Okada and Omega for Wrestler of the Week.
Yes, because Okada didn't beat Omega. Okada, it was a draw.
Oh wow!
It proved how freaking legit these two guys are. They're so evenly matched. They couldn't even get a legit finish to the match. That's how evenly good they are. How much of a fight Omega pose, and how much of a Japan really likes their fighting spirit. It's proof how much of a fighting spirit Kenny Omega has to stand up to Kazuchika Okada, the only guy to go to a 60-minute time limit draw with him and push him to the limit. Legit push him to the limit. And to me, neither one is better than the other. They're equal greats. Now, don't get me wrong. I am Bullet Club for life and a Kenny Omega fan for sure. I'll even go as far as to say, and I might get heat, but I really don't give a fuck because it's my opinion. I think Kenny Omega is a greater wrestler than AJ Styles, in my opinion. In my opinion, he is. And I would love to see them two go at it just so Kenny Omega will fucking knee the fuck out of him. His fucking soccer mom haircut. But anyways, I like them both. I like them both, but right now, Kenny, man, he's proven why he's the best in the world right now. And what I like the most about him is the fact that this was a guy who was initially a comedy wrestler. He used to wrestle in this promotion in Japan called DDT Pro Wrestling. And if you know anything about DDT, DDT is all about the comedy. You know, that's where Joey Ryan did the dick spot. That's the same company where he did that dick spot. You know, so they're all about the, you know, the funny. Jim Cornette hates him. He calls him the dick guy.
Yeah.
Cornette hates it. And the fact that Cornette hates it make me like it even more.
I'm a Cornette guy, but I do like Joey Ryan.
I like Cornette. I'm 50-50 with Cornette. I respect him. He's been in the business a very long time. He knows what the fuck he's talking about. However, you gotta understand the times have changed. Kayfabe is fucking dead. Yeah, you can't. How you gonna say, these guys are taking pictures together, bro? Everybody knows that it's a fucking work. Everybody knows it's kayfabe. How the fuck are you gonna expect these motherfuckers, dude? Earlier today, before I fucking came over here, I was watching E3, and who's at E3? Samoa Joe and Xavier Woods. Samoa Joe's a fucking heel.
Yeah.
Xavier Woods is a fucking babyface.
Yeah.
And yet they're here chilling together, fucking promoting WWE, promoting the company at E3.
Even though they didn't show the game?
Nope. They didn't show the game. They didn't. But you understand what I'm saying? It's dead. It's kayfabe is fucking dead. Stop trying to fucking, you know, I understand respecting it and whatever, but everybody knows it's a fucking work. Mm-hmm. I understand if, you know, okay, we're in the building and shit together, cool, yeah.
Or during the TV taping.
Yeah, but once we're clocked out or whatever, you go back to being Anthony, I go back to being Jonathan, we're just regular old selves.
Yeah.
You understand? So.
As long as there's not a camera following them, I don't know.
So, anyways, just. In closing, I want to say, for Wrestler of the Week is both Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada. Match of the Week is obviously Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada too. And I urge you all to watch this match if you have not. Anthony, me and you, we got to sit down and watch it one of these days. T, I already gave you my New Japan information, so... You ain't got no excuse. Then you say you're making a DVD out of it.
Yep.
So, like, legit, nobody has any excuse as to why they haven't seen this match. Honestly. There should be no excuse.
But I will say, my conclusion for this, before we get off, I'm the same with you. I choose them both. But if you had to twist as far as the record goes, you know, they're tied. But I'm just speaking hypothetically, if someone were to twist my arm and say who was better, I'd have to pick Omega for the fact that he took like 6 Rainmakers and he was still finding a way to fight back. Cody almost throws in the fucking towel, for God's sake, he's getting beat so bad. And yet he still manages to hang on and beat the clock.
Uh-huh.
But as far as in the record books for the show, it's tied. But we got to move on to Money in the Bank predictions up next, fellas.
Yeah, man. So close us out.
All right, everybody. This has been episode of the number 64 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling podcast. And up next, we got Money in the Bank preview and predictions. It's going to be me. Sage and capital P, along with you to break down the card for Money in the Bank. So, we'll be doing that coming up next. And hope you guys enjoyed this. Make sure you leave your likes, comments, and subscribe on YouTube. You're listening to iTunes and Podomatic. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and all that good stuff. And closing words from Lisa here. Closing words from Lisa here. She says, some women age like a fine wine and some age like an old wrinkled up raisin.
Amen.
So, there you go. But, as far as that goes, Money in the Bank premium predictions up next. Take care, everybody. I love you all. And we will talk to you very, very soon. Good night, everybody.